Well, today we're going to talk about restoring our souls and renewing our mind. Now, we may not get to all of it, but we'll do it as the Lord directs and the Holy Spirit leads. Praise God. So I believe God's got some really special things to help all of us with our areas of our soul, restoring our souls. So in Psalms 23, verse number 3, it says, He restores my soul. Everybody say, He restores my soul. Everybody say this with me. Say, Lord, restore my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Now, you can see there in the Passion's Translation, I think we have it spelled out for you, typed out for you. That's where he restores and revives my life. He opens before me the pathways to God's pleasure and leads me along his footsteps of righteousness so that I can bring honor to his name. And so today we're going to be talking about a very important aspect of restoration, which is the restoration of our souls. Now, you can see it this way right from the beginning. I want to establish this premise or this point, this major point to think about. God restores our souls to function properly so that we can take our responsibility to renew our minds. So God restores our souls. In other words, he takes it from dysfunction to function. Amen. Because when you're spiritually, soulishly injured or impaired, just like you have a hearing impairment, you can't hear without help. You're hearing impaired. And so sometimes our soul can be impaired or injured, and it becomes dysfunctional. Now, we'll talk a little bit more about what the soul makes up in just a second. So we have to understand that point right up at the beginning. God has to, you have to allow and enable the Lord to restore your soul on a consistent, regular basis so that you can continue to renew your mind. Renewing our mind is yours and my big priority responsibility as Christian believers and Christ followers. In other words, just like you bathe your body and comb your hair, you have to bathe and hygiene your mind. And you have to get rid of stinking thinking. Amen. And old thoughts, praise God. Stale thoughts equal stale lives. And so we want to establish that right up front. So we must remember and reestablish this. That we're spirit beings and not just human beings. So sometimes we get so cognizant and conscious of the exterior or the natural realm that we don't look at the invisible interior realm that we are made of. We're not just human beings, we are spirit beings. And so we have a threefold nature. Everybody say threefold nature. So 1 Thessalonians 5:23, I think we have that scripture in there too, your handout. Now, may the God of peace sanctify you completely. And may your whole spirit, soul, and body. So some people just think that they were just body and soul, or they may say soul and body, but we are spirit, soul, and body. Now, there's three different words that the Apostle Paul uses in the Greek language to describe the difference in the distinction between spirit, soul, and body. He said that spirit, soul, and body may be preserved blameless at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. So the God of peace is the one who sanctifies. The God of peace is the one who restores your soul. Amen. And so we are a spirit. We possess a soul, and we live in a body. Now, your DNA, part of your makeup is 99% spirit. You're a spirit being. That's the real you. Now, you possess a soul, and you live in a body, but that's the other 1%. Our soul consists of our mind, our will, and emotions. Those are the three major components or functionalities of your soul being, the part of your soul, your mind, will, and emotion. So with your soul, with our souls, we exercise reasonings, logic, thinking. The average, they say, is approximately 30,000 thoughts a day. It's a lot of thoughts. Amen. And you think about a mind that's troubled or worried or anxious, because that word in the Bible means a mind divided. And we know the principle of division says if a house is divided against itself, it won't stand. And so it's hard to stand and see straight when your mind's divided. Divided between what? Legitimate thoughts and destructive thoughts. That's the general context and essence of worry. Your mind is back and forth between legitimate and destructive. And it's very problematic to your makeup. It's not something you're wired to do. So all those thoughts have to be maintained and managed. Sometimes they get old, stale, stinky. Amen. So we have to make choices with our soul and decide. We process feelings, dreams, desires, ideas, suggestions. All those things happen in the functionality of our soul realm. So notice in our opening verse, God restores our soul. God promises to restore our mind, our will, and our emotions back to original function and functionality. And as we said in the beginning, too often, and it's really prevalent today because it's escalating, too many people are mentally impaired, emotionally impaired, have mental illnesses. There's this big deal. And, you know, there's a lot of Christian organizations being risen up because a lot more Christians are being depressed and have mental illnesses. They're not allowing God to restore their soul. Amen. They have a bad habit of thinking immoral, illegal, and impure thoughts. They just allow a highway of impurity to run through the freeway of their mind. And there's no governor because it's impaired. It's broken. Anybody can come in. Demons, devils, and destructive thoughts can come running through your mind without a check. You need to get your soul restored. Amen. Amen. So turn to your neighbor, look at him real nice. Don't be mean mugging him or anything like that. But look at him real nice and say, have you had your soul restored lately? Now remember, when God restores, he brings it back to complete. The God of peace sanctifies you completely. He makes it better. He makes it. So a lot of times people have been marred or scarred, listen to me very carefully, with memories, with the mess they just went through, and with the misery they're going through. And that leaves a stain or sting in their soul component. And then it's almost like I'm thinking negative thoughts a lot. Or I'm emotionally finding myself going from one extreme to the next. I'm paranoid on one side, and then I'm pathological on the other side. In other words, our thoughts don't glorify God; they horrify God. What's on your mind? Are you listening to me today? So God wants to restore our souls today. Amen. So we have a part to play in renewing our minds, as we said. The maintenance and management of our minds and our thought life is our great responsibility. You know, part of, even as we've been talking about family and parenting, you know, part of that is teaching your children how to think and how to get their mind renewed. because we know the great scripture in Proverbs that says, as a man, Proverbs 23:7, as a man thinketh, so is he. You're not who you think you are. You are what you think. Some people have visions of grandeur, or they think they're a legend in their own mind, but you are what you think. If you think negative, harmful, toxic, satanic thoughts, then that's what you're going to manifest and grow. You know, they even said, and it's proven by science and neural technology, neurologists, that's expert, neurological experts. I'm not a neurological expert. I just read their articles and read their research. And they said that a toxic thought will fix itself like taking up mental real estate on your brain, and it will cause a temporary brain damage. So a mental impairment. That's how bad a thought, if it's allowed to persist and consistently be there, can be. Amen. People don't get divorced. People don't commit adultery. People don't do sin just by happenstance or accident. It starts with a thought. An idea drops in your mind that's unchecked, unguarded, and it gets in and sets up camp. Are you listening to me? People don't walk away from the Lord just by, oh, just a wind blew me out of church and I'm just backslidden. No, it starts with a thought. Amen. Everybody say, I am a spirit. I possess a soul that would belong to you, and you I live in a body. Body's just the earth suit. Amen. So the maintenance of our minds and our thought life is our great responsibility. God restores our mind, God restores our soul, excuse me, but we have to renew our mind. And why is it that way? Work way? It's like a cooperation. You go to God to get your soul restored in his presence, with a refreshing through his word. He restores and repairs and revives our soul. Praise the Lord. And then we have a job to do. We can't just walk around just like you know in the natural. If you go 5 days without taking a bath or a shower, somebody's probably going to smell you. Right? You're going to probably get pretty stinky, particularly in the heaty climates that we're in now. In the heated climates we are in now. So you think about it. If you go a day, 2 days without intentionally maintaining your mind and renewing your mind, man, that thing grow wild. Next thing you know, you find yourself thinking and being emotionally and mentally in some dark places. In some dingy places. Amen. Wrong thoughts and beliefs limit God. So I want you to see this. I'm going to read 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14. It says, but continue on the things which thou hast learned and hath been assured of. Everybody said there's power in continuing, knowing of whom you've learned them. And from a child thou hast known the scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. That means that God breathed. And is profitable. So the word of God is packaged for our profitability. Why do you come to church? Why do we encourage you to read your Bible? Because the word of God is packaged for your profitability. The biggest need you have, the word of God can meet. The word of God meets all human needs. Amen. So it's packed for your profitability. For what? Doctrine. See, four things there. For reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness. Why? So that the man of God or woman of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Amen. And because wrong thoughts lead to wrong beliefs. which lead to wrong words and wrong actions. Now, the four things that the Word of God is profitable for, it says doctrine, which has to do with the order of God. That means God's way of doing things. God has a way for marriage. God has a plan for marriage. It's one plan. It's one way. It's one order. When you take it out of order, things get out of order. Right? Just like we can go to a bathroom or public restroom and they got the little tape on it and the sign on the door says out of order. Well, how many know your thoughts can be out of order because you don't think the order of God, you think your order that I've learned through experience or environmental learnings, how they did it back in the day. Well, everybody lives together. Well, that's out of order. That's not the order of God. Amen. Well, we know we've been talking about the act that they're trying to push through, the Equality Act. You know, they want to push that thing so they can make everything out of order concerning family, marriage, sexual orientation, and gender identity. That's out of order. That's not the order of God. The Word of God talks and tells us the order of God. Amen. He has an order for family. He has an order for how you're supposed to deal with different circumstances and situations of life. God has an order. Everybody say order. Order. Amen. God has order. Has order. He's a God of order. Amen. He's not the author of confusion. Confusion in the Amplified, it also says, and disorder. So disorder and confusion come together. So some people get confused. Well, I thought, you know, we can live common law or we can act like we're married but not be married. That's out of order. Kids terrorizing their parents and running the house instead of the parents running the house is out of what? Order. Ooh, everybody's getting quiet. So we got to think about this. Okay, doctrine. Everybody say doctrine. All right, and then he says, goes on to say reproof. Reproof has to do with the pinpointing or dismantling of error. Erroneous thinking, wrong believing, wrong thinking equals wrong believing. And beliefs determine behavior. So you come to get the Word of God to pinpoint and dismantle error. The main dismantling has to do with our thought life, how we think about things, how we process things. And so we need to pinpoint that, let the Holy Spirit, through the Word, point that out and say, no, you need to dismantle that. That means they take that out and put God's thoughts in. Okay? And then correction has to do with the exposure to the truth. So when you get under the Word, you hear the Word, then you open and yield yourself to correction from the Word. Because that's the institution of God's wisdom and discipline for your life. Discipline through instruction, discipline through correction. So you receive instruction from the Word, but you also receive correction from the Word. That means you have to make correction. See, Jesus, as we said many a times before, and I heard Bishop Dale Brown say it at a men's conference that some of us were at, and he said, Jesus broke the curse, but it's our great job and responsibility to correct the course. Jesus broke the curse, but it's our job to correct the course. So our responsibility is to make course correction. So correction is good. Correction yields direction, perfection, and protection. Why you're supposed to correct your child? Because he said, if you love them, you will correct them. Because it yields good things. It doesn't seem good at the time when the correction is coming, but it yields good things. It yields direction. That means they change direction because they could be headed for an iceberg or like a Titanic and going to hit that iceberg and sink in life. You got to correct course so you can miss the tragedies and the trauma of life taking you under. Everybody say correction is good. correction yields per, again, direction. But see, if you're not open and yielded to the correction, you'll never get the direction. And people just keep going the same down the same road, and they're going to repeat the same mistakes. And people, unfortunately, too many people make the same mistakes financially, relationally. Come on now. In marriage contexts, you know, they can't understand the order of God. They don't listen to reproof. Amen. And they don't get corrected. And then the fourth one is instruction in righteousness. Isn't that what it says? Mm-hmm. Instruction in righteousness is the systematic application of the truth so that life can change. Now, you know, we go a little bit extra and give you a handout. Why? So that you just don't get information, that information turns into transformation and application. That you intentionally walk out of here with an action plan by the Holy Spirit to say, what am I going to implement and apply to my life right now, this day? Because we know just from social learning and learned educators tell us and through many, many thousands of studies and years of studies that if you don't do anything with information you received within 48 hours to 72 hours, that information vaporizes. That's why people can't tell you what was preached on Sunday on Tuesday. Because they had no intention of applying truth that they've learned to their life. They can't even tell you the scriptures that were used. They can't, the subject matter is even clouded. I don't even know what he talked about. So we don't just give you information. We give it for you to enable the Holy Spirit to work through you so you can take home and do application and implementation. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's instruction in righteousness so that you can change. See, did you know that chances are that you and I could be possibly limiting God? You think, well, I've arrived. No, there's much more to what God wants to do in our lives individually and as a collective family unit and in your family. And two things have to really change. Really, core things, and we're talking about one, is your mind and your mindset and your mouth. Amen. To go to the next level where God wants you to go, you got to think on another level. Amen. That's right. Amen. If you got dusty old yesterday's thinking, then things are not going to change. See, there are many things that can hinder or limit what God can do and want to do in our lives, but God's will and work of restoration, he can and will and wants to do the work of restoration in our lives, for example. So one area we can limit God is through our wrong beliefs. Because sometimes we think God's in total control. This happened because God wanted it to happen. Or God allowed it to happen. And everything that happens in life is his will. So we default think that way. Or we blame him for everything that we have while having a fatalistic theology. That I'm a victim in life. I'm no longer a victor. God's just making me suffer through this. That some says that everything that happens somehow another way must be God's plan and purpose for our life. So if my marriage fails, it's think because God's way of breaking or humbling us. If my business fails, we accept this as God's will. If we lose our health or physical or mental well-being, we lose a lot of money through some sort of financial setback or situation, then it must be God trying to humble us and teach us something. That's wrong beliefs, wrong thinking. Amen. And so we limit God in that context. So here's the key principle to think about. If we think wrong, then we'll believe wrong, and we will talk and act wrong, and things will go wrong. It all hinges on our thinking. Again, Proverbs 23:7. as a man, now that's gender neutral in the Bible, thinketh in the heart. Where? Thinketh inside. Because if we would take your 30,000 thoughts and line them up around the wall, how many would we be able to pick out? I said, man, that's wrong. Man, that's ungodly. My goodness, that's destructive. Are y'all listening to me?
Yes.
What's on your mind? We know the scripture says in Philippians 4:6 that we are to be careful for nothing, or don't worry about anything, but pray about everything. So some people think I should be worrying about everything and then pray about nothing. What's that? That's twisted, backed up thinking. Amen. So here are some points to think about or ponder. Number one, you got them there listed. Where the mind goes, the man or woman follows. You're going where you're thinking. Thoughts precede action. Now, here's a big one. Feelings are controlled by thoughts and not by circumstances. Amen. Now, think about it. The feelings you had last week, or maybe even yesterday, or the last 2 days. You're sad, depressed. Why? You're thinking that way. You have depressing, sad, sorrowful thoughts. If you're struggling to focus, if you're struggling to think straight and pay attention, why? It's because you have struggling, non-focused thoughts going on, radical thoughts firing off, bouncing off your brain. Some people even mention, even when, you know, we're preaching sometimes, I've been preaching a little bit, and so some people say, one person would say, man, that was a blessing. That built up. I really appreciate that, because they appreciate the word or the strong word. And somebody else will say, man, I felt like you were beating me up. What's going on? Their thought life. They're victimized, not vindicated. This is Dr. Caroline Leaf says this, 75% to 95% of illnesses that plague us today are direct results of our thought life. How important is that? 75 to 95% of our illnesses and plague that plague us today are direct result of our thought life. What we think about affects us physically and emotionally. Is it an epidemic of toxic emotions? Says Dr. Caroline Reed, who did 20 years of research, study, and scientific applications in the neurosciences and the neurology of the area. You know, brain, study the brain and all that, nervous system. Each one of us, she says also, each one of us has the power to change the way our bodies work through our thoughts and choices. For example, the fact that low desire is a mind issue. So the desire to change, if it's real low, if you say, well, I'm not going to change the way I am, if you don't have good intention rising up, or we would say it this way in the context of the Bible, if your willpower and power of choices is impaired or afflicted, then you won't make a choice that you need to make to change things. Some people just go right in because they have weak willpower. Amen? Parents need to be very cognizant of their children. If their children accept things from people and it's solicitations to do evil from people, that means they have a situation in their willpower. They have no power to say no. No, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to smoke that drug, the joint. No, I'm not going to go out drinking and blow my brains out. Because the power of choice has been given to you. But some people have not maintained that. If the Holy Spirit leads you and says you need to cut down on this particular dietary aspect of your life and you have no willpower to resist that. You just constantly consume that, and it's hurting your body and hurting your health, then you need to get your soul restored so that you can get that willpower to say no. Hallelujah. Some of us need to get that willpower when it comes to social media and some of the media indulgences. Because it's not wrong to be on there, but some people get addicted to it. And they're on there too much. They're on there venting and vandalizing the internet, the social media world. And like I said Wednesday night, social media can be a weapon of mass distraction or a weapon of mass destruction. Or it can be a weapon of mass distribution where you're distributing the truth. You're distributing encouragement. You're distributing edifying the people. Ooh-wee. Glory to God. For example, she goes on to say, the fact that low desire is a mind issue, the body gets the blame, but it's the mind that controls the body, not the other way around. It's literally mind over matter. You get your mind it up in line, and then the matter of your body gets in line. Are y'all here? Our health is not controlled by our genetics. Our health is controlled by our thinking. What's controlling it? Your thinking. Amen. So again, to summarize this thought, this concept of having the right beliefs so that come from right thinking, the Word of God is packaged for our profitability. It's for our productive living. And so the Word of God should govern our lives in three primary areas. What we think. So sometimes we may have to go into I don't want to think about it unless I think the Word on it. I mean, you might have to carry your YouVersion Bible at a quick click. Or, a brick and mortar Bible like this. And somebody say, what do you think about that? Well, let me see what I think. And you click on that app. Or you open the Bible and say, this is my brains right here. The Word of God, let me say it again. The Word of God should govern our lives in three areas. What we think, what we say, and what we do. Amen. See, we limit God by our thinking that things have to be a certain way because that's what others are experiencing. They're experiencing it, so I have to experience it. Who told you have to think that way? Deuteronomy 7:17 says, if thou shalt say in thy heart, the nations are more than I, how can I dispossess them? So in other words, we think, well, we can't go to another. We can't do this because this is wrong and that's wrong and this is situation. And why are you thinking that way? You know, God can walk and chew bubblegum at the same time. I don't think he chews bubblegum, but you know what I mean. He can do more than one thing at a time. He's a big, big God. Amen? All right, let's get to a point on renewing the mind because this is the key crux of it. God restores our souls so we can take our responsibility to renew our mind. I like how once someone said, he said, your hair is combed longer than your mind is renewed. Now, some experts have said that you have to get to a point of 10 minutes doing a checkup from the neck up. Every 10 minutes. At least every hour and check out, okay, what am I thinking? Because you get to be thinking about, what am I thinking? Because thinking has a domino effect. Thinking determines my believing and then determines my behaving, which includes speaking and acting. So if I'm talking wrong, it's because I'm thinking wrong. If I'm acting wrong, contradictory to the Word of God, not congruent with the Word of God. If I'm acting wrong, behaving wrong, then it's because I'm thinking wrong. It hinges on my thinking. Amen. And so, renewing our mind. Romans 12, 1 through 3 says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable God, which is no reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Some translation says renovation. It's just like you do your house, you have to renovate it. You have to clean that carpet. Amen? You have to sweep and mop the floor. You have to clean out the refrigerator once sometimes, right? Because it gets really smelly and moldy. You got to do that with your mind. You got to renovate your mind. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable, perfect will of God. That I'll stop right there. Look at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 23. In the Amplified, it says, be constantly renewed in the spirit of your mind, having a fresh mental and spiritual attitude. Have you smelled your mind lately? Do you have fresh thoughts? Or are they stale and stinky thoughts? Is your attitude stinking? Or is it strong and fresh? Amen. So I submit and I suggest that, you know, renewing of your mind should be a daily occurrence, minimally. Minimally. Now, if you're going through a very critical crisis situation, then you probably need to amp it up to three times or four times a day. Because during the moments in that crisis, you could shift your thinking backwards. Because remember, the battle is where? In the mind. Everybody say in the mind. So that's where the warfare is. It's not out here. We think it's out there. But the devil has only one road. That's why he's called devil or diabolos. Diabolos means to travel one road one way and to make a hole or penetrate. In other words, he's trying to penetrate your thought life. He's trying to penetrate your soul realm. And if he can keep you and defeat you in the mind, he can defeat you. So he knows, I don't have to match you because he's spiritually defeated. So he said, I can just get him in the mental realm, in the reason realm, and keep him there, and I'll whip him every time. Are y'all thinking real good? Everybody's looking at me. Everybody say, praise the Lord. Give the Lord a praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we have to give ourselves checkups from the neck up regularly. We must think about what we're thinking about. So that's what the stopping and pausing. See, everybody needs to do reading, reflection, and rehearsing through their mind of what they read. That's why I like when some people make the comments, because in the YouVersion, our group Bible reading, because, you know, it's good to write it down because that does something to your thought, thinking, and memory. Some people don't write nothing down. But it just tells, what's going on with your mind? You busy, can't write your thoughts down? That's a practice of a spiritual discipline. You need to have daily reflection and daily rehearsing of what you've read. It's a part and parcel of meditation. That's part of the transformation. Meditation leads to transformation and revelation, which leads to results. Because if you are who you think and what you think, then I need to make sure I'm thinking the right things. So I need to write that stuff down and review and build what they call in the corporate world muscle memory. Amen. Amen. Because what you rehearse and what you repeat, both in your mind and your mouth, becomes your reality. What you rehearse and what you repeat from your mind and your mouth becomes your reality. Well, this is good stuff, man. Praise God. Hallelujah. This is good stuff. So we have to regularly rid ourselves of thinking. So you have to pause during the day and say, well, I got to get, you can't just walk out of the house with just bathing your body and not bathing and hygiene in your brain. Because if we have stinking thinking, we'll have stinking lives. And we'll limit what God wants to do in and through our lives by his grace and power. Listen to these other scriptures. Philippians 2:5. Let this mind, that means we have to permit it and allow it, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. 2 Corinthians 2:16. For who has known the mind of the Lord, that we may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. You have the mind. That means you got to put it on. That means every day you got to get the download from heaven. So God gave you saved brains to think about. Jesus' thoughts to be thinking through. His word is, he said, my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. That means you got to upgrade and download his thoughts. So you got to set your mind on higher things and keep them set on things above, higher things. Praise the Lord. Look at 1 Peter 1:13. This is powerful. Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind. So he gives a description by the Holy Spirit of the creative capacity of your mental faculties, if your soul is faculties. That word mind literally means imagination. That means, you know how it is, when you get sideways, when you get sad or you get really mad at something, or something, you can create some really evil imaginations. But the Bible says we are to cast them down. Amen. We are to take those captive. He said in Peter, gird up the what? The loins. So, because they have the power to produce. He said, be sober. That's also mental action too. But in other words, don't be like a drunk, intoxicated, and under the influences of your own problems, pain, and pressure. You're supposed to have clear thinking. Amen. You can't be like a drunk and under the influence. Because see, sometimes people make decisions because of the pressure is there. They're doing it to relieve the pressure. Or they're trying to anesthetize, I know that's a fancy word, the pain. Or cover up the pain. So they get into all these vices and addictions and these strange behaviors. Why? To anesthetize the pain. To relieve the pressure. That's why people get hooked or addicted to pornography and alcohol and social media. Why? They're trying to escape reality. Everybody good? Okay. Okay. He said, gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober. That means make sure you're not intoxicated and under the influence of the pressure of your circumstances. Don't walk around like a silly drunk. And he said, rest your hope. That's a mental action too. See, these are three powerful things in this one verse. Rest your hope fully upon the grace. And hope is just not wishing and wanting casually. It is intentionally. See, a Bible hope is persuasion of something that's true, expecting something good, and you're excited. That means he said, rest your hope and get excited about the grace coming. Amen. About the grace that is to be brought to you when the revelation of Jesus Christ comes. That means you're persuaded of something that's true. You're fully persuaded. You're expecting something good, and you're excited about it. You're not mentally disturbed about it. You're not depressed about it. You're not discouraged about it. You have maintained your mind. You have girded up the loins of your mind. Blessed be the Lord. Hallelujah. Come on, let's just thank God. See, God wants to bring us out of depression, discouragement, and despair, and out of devastation into restoration. But we must be transformed by the renewing of our minds and the changing the way we think daily with the Word of God. Guys, let me just tell you real honestly and openly that there have been times where I had to spend an hour and a half getting my soul in line. because of the pressure of the circumstance. I could not get clarity and things cleaned up in my brain in 10 minutes. God's not fast food service. And sometimes you might have to spend, you know, an extra little bit of time getting all those thoughts taken out and getting his thoughts put in. That's what renewing of the mind is. It is just changing God's, exchanging your thoughts, ideas, suggestions, your concepts to his. Amen. How should we do it? By taking God's word and exchanging our thoughts, ideas, concepts, attitudes for his words, thoughts, ideas, concepts, and attitudes. So sometimes that exchanging may take some time, but it will take you daily to get it done, because you can't run out of the house, and you shouldn't run into a major decision or a major dilemma without doing it. And people will be thinking, I can handle it. Well, you're running on bad thoughts. You don't have fresh thinking. You don't have the mind of Christ on it yet. Somebody say, glory to God. Isaiah 55, 8, 9 says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, my ways not your ways, said the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the thoughts, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your, or my thoughts than your thoughts. In other words, God's higher. Amen. God's thoughts are higher. God has higher thoughts from where you are now, where your health is now, where your finances are now. You could be making a quarter million a year, but God has higher thoughts to take you to a new level. Amen. He has higher thoughts for you relationally now, because your relations should not be just casual and almost what we call pseudo-connected, because some people have a large Facebook family or Facebook network, but they don't have any real network. They don't have a real family connections. Amen. God has higher thoughts about that, about your faith friends and about your relationships, your supernatural God-ordained relationships. God has higher thoughts about your family and about your future. Somebody say glory to God. Remember he said in Jeremiah 29:11, I know the thoughts I think towards you, said the Lord. Thoughts of good and not of evil. He said, I'm not thinking evil thoughts. I got good thoughts. Thoughts of good and not evil. Thoughts to give you a hope and a future. So why are we thinking miserable? Why are we thinking mad? Why are we thinking messed up? Everybody say we need to get our soul restored so we can renew our mind. Somebody say glory to God. So to go higher, you have to think higher. The low thinking limits God. It's limited to God. Meditate on the word to expand and enlarge your thinking. Hallelujah. So I'm going to read Passion Translation. I'm going to close. Romans 12, 2. Stop imitating the ideals and opinions of the culture around you. Isn't that good? Yes. Be inwardly transformed by the Holy Spirit through the total reformation of how you think. This will empower you to discern God's will as you live out a beautiful life, satisfying and perfect in his eyes. Amen. Amen. Would you stand with me, please? We'll pick it up here next week, because we need to make sure that we save our souls. That's a big question. Have you saved your soul? Hallelujah. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you and we praise you and we honor you. We glorify you for all of your goodness and mercy and your kindness, your faithfulness, your love. Thank you, Father God, that you promised to restore our souls.